Let's start. Just if you could just be still and say the name of Jesus and ask him to draw near to you. If you could ask him to draw near to you. Let's believe that the presence of God is the solution to all our fears, all the stress, and the presence of God is the solution even to our fatigue and tiredness. Just say, Jesus, come, fill. Holy Spirit, fill. Father God, fill this place. I don't know who this is for, but I'm just going to speak it out. It's just somebody here. The Lord is saying, I missed you so much. He's not angry. He's just saying, I missed you so much. I'm so glad to be with you. We're not going to let the fear and anger and the division of the world come into our church. And that's why I want us to just pray for the newly elected President Biden. If you could pray for President Biden. And I think it's going to be kind of chaotic next few months. Pray for the process of the recount and the legal challenge to the election. I believe that will come. Pray for our nation. And like I said before, never seen it in my lifetime, the division that's in the leadership of this country. And I'm talking about both the Democratic and the Republican Party, just their inability to work together. And what I want to ask Catalyst member is, do not let that come into our church. Please, do not let that come into our church. You know, in my lifetime, when I look at churches and there's church split, and that hurts so many people. You know, that's, before a church split happened in Catalyst, I will leave. You know, I will resign, because it hurts so many people. But what I saw is that when there's a church split, it was because the leadership's failure to work together. You know, we say, well, this person did this. No, it's always the leadership failure to work together. And then what happens is sides are taken and then there's division. There's division. So pray for the nation, for unity. But at the same time, the division that's going on will not come into Catalyst. But instead, I am so thankful for the Catalyst leadership, the board. You know, here there's respect and love for one another, even in the midst of, differences, different opinion, different view. You know, we know how to fight the spiritual warfare, not fight flesh and blood. And the leadership genuinely cares about the members of this church. And so, you know, let's just be thankful, pray for the leadership of this church, leadership, you know, pray for me. I need your prayer. I desperately need your prayer. Pray for the leadership of this country. Pray. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Those with video off, it's still wave, you know, to one another. Today, the sermon will be Fear Not. Okay? Fear Not. And it's a passage that comforted me a lot during this time. And it's from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And Isaiah 41, verse 10, this is what it commands. First, fear not. It says, fear not. And God gives us this promise. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Another word again, fear not, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And the church said, amen. What this passage is saying, fear not, God is with you. Fear not, God is your God. Fear not, God will strengthen you. Fear not, God will help you. Fear not, God will uphold you. This passage, it doesn't say fear not because, you know, Biden is the president now. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say fear not because the vaccine will come soon. It doesn't say fear not because you have that, you know, N95 mask or something instead of that cloth mask. Fear not. It doesn't say fear not because of the stimulus money will come soon. The key in this passage, the key to overcoming fear is resting and putting your faith in God's promise, God's presence, God's power, and God's love. You know, when God's people were called to cross the river of Jordan to the promised land, they chose that they, this is the decision they made. They chose to embrace fear instead of faith. And fear made them not cross the river into the promised land. In the time of David, the army of Israel couldn't defeat Goliath. Okay, why? It wasn't because they didn't have weapons. The Bible says, you know, the Bible says it's because Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Okay? Because of fear, they could not defeat Goliath. Okay? And so, fear, what it does, we need to battle fear because it takes away faith. Fear takes away our identity in Christ. Fear makes us forget we are sons and daughters of God. We see ourselves, you know, like the people, Israelite in Exodus, like grasshoppers. We are grasshoppers. Fear prevents blessing of God to overflow in our church and in our life. Fear makes you go away from the power of God, away from grace, away from forgiveness, away from security, intimacy, healing, and freedom, and makes us go toward anger, you know, control, condemnation, shame, conflict, and division. Fear makes you fight the wrong battle. Fear makes you fight the wrong battle. Fear destroys good relationship. The relationship is good, but when fear hits that relationship, fearful thoughts, fearful, you know, action sabotage a good relationship. I just got a, you know, revelation about my relationship with my mom. And it is pretty up and down, you know, my relationship with my mom. And what I realized, it's not anger, it's not bitterness that's hurting our relationship. I believe it's the fear is the root issue that will break down my relationship with my mom. You know, because what would happen? Things are going well, but, you know, my mom will be hit with this overwhelming fear. Right? She'll be hit with this overwhelming fear. And then she starts speaking out of that fear. And then what happens? Relationship starts breaking down again. Right? Fear breaks down marriage. You know, if there's in the past, you know, you experience abandonment, rejection, abuse in the past. When you get married, there's this tremendous fear that is going to happen in your marriage. That fear is there. And that hurts your marriage. Fear causes you to control through anger and manipulation. Again, a bully is motivated by fear. It's not strength. Fear causes you to blame. Fear causes you to hide your past. Fear causes you not to seek healing. Fear causes you to be alone. Fear causes you to push away people that's close to you. Fear causes you to hurt and crush the people around you. You know, churches become unhealthy when pastors are overcome with fear. Fear of what people think. Fear of not being liked. Fear that someone will leave the church. And then what happened? They start to preach message that people want to hear instead of what God wants him to speak or wants her to speak. The pastor who lives in fear has no clear direction for the church. Fear prevents a pastor from leading his church. So Isaiah 41:10 says, if you rest and put your faith in God's promise, God's power, his presence and love, you will overcome fear. But if you're not resting and putting your faith in God, there will be fear in your heart. And that fear, what it reveals, right? From this passage, as I was meditating about what it reveals where you are not trusting God, that area in which you're not trusting the Lord. Now, trust is very important in relationship. If there's no trust in the church, that church will not make it. If there's no trust in marriage, that marriage will not make it. Trust is so important, right, in relationship. It is so important that we have a relationship that a person that you can trust. Why? If you have that relationship, that trust in relationship, it will determine whether you are happy or miserable. That's what will determine it. It will determine whether you succeed or fail. It will determine whether you have a full life or a wasted life. That's how important trust is in relationship. You know, of course you know this, but I need to say it. Don't trust a popular opinion. Don't put your trust in the news media. Don't put your trust in TV personality or celebrities, not the social media, not what is trending or what is the latest fad. The Bible also says, okay, this is important. Don't trust yourself, right? In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says. So our thoughts, our emotion, our flesh, our sinful nature, our selfishness, lies to us, right? You can't trust everything that you feel, everything that you think. Our brokenness lies to us. And what happens is we interpret things out of our hurt, our pain, our shame, our condemnation, and we start to interpret things out of fear, right? Out of fear. And if you start interpreting things out of fear, you're going to always get it wrong. you're going to get it wrong. And there will be no trust. If you trust someone, okay, you can trust someone who has the best interests at heart for you, right? Someone who knows everything, someone who will never lie to you, someone who will never forsake you or leave you. You know, you could really trust somebody, someone who is perfect, okay? Who is perfect. So that limits our option to one person. His name is Jesus Christ. You could trust him. You could trust. As a believer, you do not have to live in fear, because we can choose to put our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 34, what does it mean to trust? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in God. Okay? Taste and see that the Lord is good. How are you going to overcome fear? It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. What does it mean to taste and see? Okay? It's not just with your mind, not just information. You need to grow in the revelation of the goodness of God. You see, that this truth is not just a new revelation. We know this with our mind, that God is good. But taste and see means that you need to grow in that. You take it in. You could taste it. You could see it. You grow in the revelation, meaning there is an encounter. You have this encounter with the goodness of God. Okay? It's not just information in your head. It's a conviction. It's a revelation. It's an encounter. You taste and see that God is good. He is good. He is good. Those who are able to do radical things for the Lord believe in the goodness of God. In the parable of the talent, the person with one talent held back because he didn't believe in the goodness of the master. You know what he said? I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting crop you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. What this servant was saying, you are out for yourself. You don't care about me. You are selfish. What he was pretty much saying is, you are not good. You're not good. When you look at the book of Genesis and you look at Joseph and his brothers, they were afraid for their lives when they saw Joseph. Because why? They sold Joseph into slavery. Because of them, because of the brothers, Joseph suffered for many years. And now Joseph, one of the most powerful men in Egypt. And so he had the power to put them in prison, torture them, and even execute them. But Joseph told the brother this, okay, do not be afraid. Fear not. Okay? Joseph told the brother, you intended to harm me, but he understood something about God. In the midst of being a slave, in the midst of being in prison, he understood this. He said, but God intended for it for good. What he was saying, my God, you don't have to be afraid to his brothers. That's why you don't have to fear. Because you do not have to be afraid. See, when you are afraid, when overwhelmed by your sin, when you face uncertainties, unto the goodness of God, you see that, you know, what you're going through, the hardship you're going through, it is not to crush you. It is not to expose you. It's not to punish you. It's not to break the family up. It's not to hurt you. The Bible says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When you understand that God is good, when temptation, trials, you know, there's trials that's scaring you right now. It is not to hurt you, but to stand, the Bible says. That in that time, because God is good, you'll be strengthened. You will be able to overcome. You will be victorious. You will be victorious over the trial, over the temptation that you're going through. Right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And the second thing, I want to challenge you to overcome fear. It says, it is number two, be still. Okay? Be still. Whoever is next to you, tell that person, be still. Okay? Psalm 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. Okay? And again, this command to be still was in the context of a lot of things that was very scary. It says, earth give away, mountains fall into the heart of the sea, ocean roar and foam, mountains quake with their surging. It is in this context of fear, God commands us to be still. And the result, when you can be still in the midst of the fear, you will know God, that you will know God. And you know, we know how to be busy. We are very good at that. We know we are very good at being anxious. We're good at being afraid. We're good at being fearful, but we're not that good at being still. We're, you know, I'm still trying to learn how to be still. When we don't know how to operate, how to be still, we operate, and this is what I see in my own life. I start to operate from fear when I don't know how to be still. And when operating from fear, this is a revelation that helps me a lot, you know. When operating from fear, I am acting like unbelievers, an unbeliever. When you operate from fear, you are acting like unbeliever. See, when I look back at some relationships, you know, there are many good people, many people who love God, okay? But once they start, and I see that in myself, once I start to operate from fear, you know what it means? You stop living by faith and you start to live in anxiety and fear. And without knowing, they start to make decision and live like God doesn't exist. When I look back into my life where I was operating from fear, I was living like God doesn't exist. And you start to operate from pressure and not presence. Ministry becomes competition and not partnership. And it becomes acceptance from people and not acceptance from God. My brothers and sisters, there are many different voices today that you're hearing. And it's pretty loud. You know, you're going to hear voices from social media, from the busyness of life, from stress and anxiety, from worries and shame, and from fear. You and I have to learn how to be still in such time as this. When you learn to be still, what you're doing is you're making God's voice a priority. Being still means that you're humbling yourself to hear God. And what I realize about my relationship with God, when I'm not still, I can't hear the voice of God. You're making yourself, when you learn how to be still, you're making yourself teachable, available, and open to the Lord. That word, be still, other translation is this, cease striving. Let go, relax, wait, trust the Lord, trust. In such time as this, many are going through the greatest challenge, greatest spiritual attack. Many are going through the most difficult trials and most difficult temptations, you know, and being still during this time is one of the hardest things to do. It is not easy. When I look at David, he was in the wilderness, in the enemy's territory, and the enemy came and kidnapped his family and all his possession, and with all his men too, they lost everything. And, you know, David and David's men wanted to stone him to death because they were so upset. What did David do? The Bible says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. In a time where most would listen to fear, where they would embrace fear, they would identify with fear. He didn't fight with the men. What did he do? He pulled himself out and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He calmed himself down. He waited. He hoped. He put his faith in God and knew that God was good. And he was still. He was still. All right. I want us to go into ministry. This part, it was inspired by John Piper. He wrote some stuff about fear in this passage that I'm, you know, the main text. And I want us to kind of just meditate on the passage and also, you know, respond to this passage. Again, Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Let's respond. You know, fear not, God is with you. Fear not, God is your God. Fear not, God will strengthen you. Fear not, God will help you. Fear not, God will uphold you. Those are great reasons not to fear, isn't it? Instead of putting, you know, our trust in things that's chaotic, confusing, let's put our trust in the promise of God. Instead of fear, hear God's voice over you. He's going to speak it over you, over your home, over your family. And God speaks his voice, that you will be able to hear God's voice. He says, "I am your God over you. I am with you by your side. I will strengthen you from inside of you. I will help you all around you from wherever the enemy comes. I will uphold you from underneath you, over you, by you, inside you, around you, underneath you." So we obey that commandment. Therefore, do not fear. Holy Spirit, break the power of fear over our heart, over our mind, over our home, and over our church, and over this nation. There's so much fear all around us. And it's also a spiritual battle that our nation's going through. And it's from the fear that a lot of division is coming in this nation. Remember, you know, for the nation, God says to us as a church, to you, "I am the judge of the nations. I rule the ruler of history. I call nation into being." God says to us and over this nation, "I am sovereign. I am your God. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you." There's a stronghold and demonic attack of fear in this nation was the solution. His name is Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, move over this nation. And we need each other's prayer, please. You know, go into the gallery view and look at some of the people that's worshiping with us and start lifting them up to the Lord. There are a few that is so, they're so worn out, so fatigued, so tired. Ask the Lord that they will the Lord will refresh them and renew them. At the same time, again, any stronghold or any assignment of fear, any spiritual attack of fear, we break it in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. I sense that, again, I'm just speaking out things that I'm just hearing, that you're saying, and I do well when I, but I'm kind of scared of what's going to happen throughout the week. And I'm just going to speak this promise over you again, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide a way out. And you know what he's going to do this week in you? You're going to stand up under it. You're going to stand up under it. So do not fear tomorrow, this week. There's somebody here, there's a spirit of confusion, chaos. That's the better word, chaos. In your thought, just come before the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister and touch you. And I just command that spirit of confusion and chaos lift off right now in Jesus' name. I'm just going to speak convictions. There's childhood, fear, childhood brokenness, childhood abuse that's being really stirring you. Right? The Lord's saying, He doesn't want to put fear in you. That fear's not from him. The shame, the anger. Right? Just open up your heart. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. All you have to do is let him in. Let him in. And when you let him in, you're just going to feel his love. You're going to feel the grace and mercy. The childhood brokenness, that's his answer to the childhood brokenness. Is this unconditional love for you. There's a spiritual attack. I think there's a couple people, and this is what I'm getting in this, as we're worshiping together, there's a spiritual attack on your marriage. There's a spiritual attack on your marriage. Your battle's not with one another. There's a spiritual attack. And all you need to say is, I break that assignment. In Jesus' name, over my marriage. I break that assignment. And in your heart, just speak this out. I'm going to love my husband. Speak this out. I'm going to love my wife. Just speak that out or in your, maybe your spouse is next to you and maybe you just got into conflict. So speak it in your heart. It's okay. The Lord wants to put a new vision of who you are. And the vision that he has for you, you are created in his image and in his likeness. Receive the new image of how God sees you, not how you see yourself, how your parents saw you, or how your peers in school saw you or in the workplace sees you. See the way God sees you. You're created in his image and likeness. Thank you, God. Thank you. You don't have to put it out loud. You could, mute it. But, I think a lot of you are with your, it's your family, can you just take turn praying out loud? It's important that, your family members hear it, your prayer. Just pray. It doesn't have to be long. It could be a sentence long. It doesn't have to be eloquent, But it's just an act of releasing trust in the Lord that you want God in your family. Just pray with each other. Pray with each other. Take turn just praying. If you're going through difficulty, pray about that together. God, help strengthen us. Give us your grace and mercy to overcome together, Lord. Some of you, maybe, you need to forgive each other. I don't know. You might have had a very rough week at home. Forgive each other. Receive forgiveness. Release forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. And may the love of God, the unconditional love of the Heavenly Father, and the grace of Jesus Christ, his mercy and the work that he did on the cross, and the power, the renewing power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Amen.